Hey everybody, this is DJ Q for the Golf News Met Radio Network. We now return you to Jay's Place, already in progress.
Yeah, my dad and I had a lot of fun. I didn't go to my dad's rival school, but I might as well have, okay, because any school that I didn't go other than when he went, he would have hated.
So, well, where did he go?
Dad went to Holy Cross.
Oh, okay.
The rival, it would have angered him to no end had I gone to either Boston College or Georgetown, but instead I went to Trinity, which he had never heard of, but it really didn't matter because he still called it that shit school. Dad never forgave me for not going to Holy Cross. He even tried to bribe me. He said, sophomore year, I'll buy you a car if you transfer, and I said no. So for years, the two of us would trade because Trinity and Holy Cross would jostle each other in the rankings for U.S. News and World Report somewhere mm-hmm. between 18 and 24, 25, and they would go back and forth and switch positions constantly. So every couple of years, we'd each write each other like, oh, I see Trinity's above Holy Cross. Oh, I see Holy Cross is above Trinity. So it got heated about them. Not heated, but it was colorful. But anyway, getting back to our football picks. All right, so you're going to get a chance to tell me your opinion of these. Ready? All right, we here at GNM, okay, with the help of Ernesto the Prediction Iguana, the greatest predicting animal in the animal kingdom, we have come up with the Panthers minus a half a point at the Redskins.
I like the Panthers.
The Panthers look good this year, and the Redskins are back and forth and up and down. You never know what you're going to get from week to week.
I think Cam Newton's a real deal, too.
So, but Washington is getting better from week to week. They do have that going for them. All right, next up. Vikings, Packers, over 39 points combined.
Well, I think I would go an over on that. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have a breakout game. I don't think the Vikings are that good, and I think the Packers are hungry.
And Teddy Bridgewater on the one side and Aaron Rodgers on the other, they should combine to put up at least six touchdowns between the two of them. And that'll be enough to do it. Okay, next up, we've got the Patriots giving a point and a half but hosting the Buffalo Bills.
I think the Patriots will cover that easy. They're too good.
The Bills don't tend to play the Patriots as well as the Jets do.
True.
And the Bills are still searching for answers in a few places. Okay, Chargers, Chiefs, under a combined 52.5 points.
Oh, I would go under on that one. I saw the Chargers. I'm a big Chicago Bears fan. I saw the Chargers play the Bears, and they were not good. The Chiefs have been strange all year, and I would go with an under on that one.
Yeah, the Chiefs have no game, no offense without Jamal Charles, and the Chargers receivers keep dropping passes, okay? If you really want to punish your kids, skip time out and make them watch highlights of these two teams' offenses for hours. They'll never act up again. All right, now, this one I'm a little worried about, okay? I got the Broncos plus 3 points at the Bears.
Well, I think, you know, a healthy Peyton Manning, it's a Broncos bet, but the Bears are getting better every week. They're one of those teams that could sneak in. I think John Fox is getting his team together. I'm a huge Chicago Bears fan. I got to go with the Bears on that one.
Here's the thing. Peyton Manning is not going to play. Instead, for quarterback, the Broncos turn to Brock Osweiler, who, contrary to popular belief, is not a Bavarian clockmaker.
Did that guy go to Wisconsin? Is he a Wisconsin grad?
No, he went to University of Der Schoenenstoff.
Okay.
All right, and now Ernesto the Prediction Iguana has given us a couple of bonus picks here.
So
we have the Eagles minus one hosting the Buccaneers.
Ooh, that's a tough one. You know, I'm going to go with my heart. I'm a huge Lovie Smith fan, of course, from his years with the Bears. He's now trying to turn things around at Tampa. I go with Tampa doing that one.
Lovey Smith fan.
Yeah.
That's like admitting you're like a fan of the rock band Anthrax. I'm sorry. Lovey Smith. Wasn't he the guy that like ground your offense into the dirt to the point where you averaged something like 10.6 points a game or something?
Yeah, but he'd also come up with the highest amount of takeaways in the league every year. He's a defensive minded coach. He's a defensive.
Well, it's not easy. It's not that hard to be defensive minded when you play two games each against the Minnesota Vikings and the Detroit Lions.
That's true.
Especially back in the day, you know, when he was there. What wasn't he in Chicago the year that Detroit went 0-16?
Yeah, and he also took the Bears to the Super Bowl with Rex Grossman at quarterback. So it shows you how good of a defensive coach he must be.
That's true, too. Rex Grossman couldn't walk and chew gum at the same time, and he's still on one. But then again, okay, the first time that the Pittsburgh Steelers won the Super Bowl in the modern era, Ben Roethlisberger went 9-for-23 and only threw for, like, 120-some-odd yards passing with a dreadful QB rating of 35 or 40 or something like that. So.
Yeah.
And I will throw up my hand and take credit for calling Hines Ward as the MVP of that game. Thank you very much.
Ah, you did. Very good.
Oh, yeah. Well, 9 catches, 120-some-odd yards, and a touchdown. He'd have had 2 if he'd have held on, the one that he dropped in the second quarter. And there's a great moment in the game, though, where they cut to the sideline and Bettis is there. They still scored a touchdown. And Hines is still a little morose. He's like, yeah, man, I screwed up. And Bettis is like, it's okay, we got the 7, and you're going to make up for it later. He goes, yeah. And sure enough, he caught that flea flicker pass from Randall L. that broke open the game late in the fourth quarter. All right, and one last one. We're going to take the Bengals plus 8.5 at the Arizona Cardinals.
Ooh, I like Arizona on that. I really like Bruce Arians, the coach there. The Cardinals, I think, are getting better. Come playoff time, I wouldn't want to play the Cardinals. Let's put it that way.
I'll grant you that. The Cardinals have been on the rise for several years now, and they're exciting to watch. I just think that 8.5 points is too much to give an angry Bengals team, even on the road.
Yeah, that's a good point. So we are betting the points, aren't we? I still go with Arizona on that.
I can't believe that the Bengals are still an underdog, and to that extent.
Yeah, good point.
So, all right. Well, anyway, there was great to talk a little bit of football. Let's get back to golf now, switching gears over to the wonderful Poppy Hills. I'm going to tell you the thing that jumped out at me right at the outset that I absolutely love. There's no rough.
Yeah. Jay, did you have a chance to play the original Poppy Hills?
I didn't, no. And I did get a chance to read what Tom Doak and Rand Morissette said about the original Poppy Hills. They have not seen the new one. You should invite Ran and Tom out to check it out so that they can revise their online thoughts with regards to it. They've heard great things, but they haven't seen it. But I think they should go check it out because I had a ball there, and it has a modern trend that I think that every golf course should start to move towards, which is no rough whatsoever. It's wall-to-wall fairway, just like Pine Valley.
You know, we had a lot of fun. It's interesting you mentioned Pine Valley because that was one of our huge inspirational type of architectural components was that no rough idea. The old Poppy Hills, the original Poppy Hills, had, you know, it was done in the 80s and 90s. So what's that tell you, Jay, as an architect, you know, aficionado, you know, well, it was overshaped. We moved way too much dirt and things like that. It was a very good indication of the time that it was built. So when we had a chance to come back in, which was all based upon water conservation, they were new, the new irrigation system. They wanted to look at water conservation, and as we started to peel off the skin of the onion, so to speak, we looked at the opportunity to really lower all the contours. Bobby likes to say we popped the hills at Poppy Hills, which is a good statement. It's very true. And then we just let the natural contours of the forest, the Del Monte forest, kind of be the star and lay the golf holes in so they feel like they fit. And then when we did that, we shaped it in such a way that everything could be fairway. And that was so much fun to do. You know, we have a little bit of some rough around behind some greens and areas where we have some slopes going down into the forest that as the course is maturing, we're finding that the ball just runs like crazy. We did put sand under everything. We sand capped it so that that promoted that firm, fast, and fun mantra. That was our, we actually had that on hats and stuff. The Poppy Hills 2.0, firm, fast, and fun.
Well, we had
a blast.
One of the other things that struck me very much about it were how good the angles were, and once again, how the bunkers jutted out into the fairway so that you had to play around them. How much change did you put into the positioning of the bunkering around the golf course?
Oh, it was completely rethought. Completely rethought. There's areas that are bunkers now that were never even considered to be bunkers in the past. There's areas we took out a lake and put in a lot of, we did a lot of the natural sandy feel, tying into pine straw, tying into the forest, you know, just let those things kind of bleed so that the forest, once again, kind of felt like it came out of the forest and penetrated into the golf course. It was completely re-strategized from tee to green.
Now, earlier we were both talking about Pine Valley. Now, I want to take a moment to tell everybody out there a fascinating story. When I was doing my research for the golf course, I had a buddy of mine over my shoulder who was looking it up, and he starts reading to me. He goes, Poppy Hills is a little bit like Pine Valley, a little bit like Augusta National, and a little bit like Pinehurst. And I turned and I looked at him, and I said, okay, that sounds to me like, you know, hyperbole. That sounds to me like PR, like somebody went overboard. Well, you
sounds
know
like a,
what?
Sounds like
you
a marketing
guys,
guy, huh?
You guys lived up to it. Because architecturally, it was like Pine Valley in that you shaved all that rough and all those wide playing corridors are playable. It's a little more playable than Pine Valley because Pine Valley, if you're off the fairway, you got to chip out or pitch out. There's no heroic shot out of it. You're in the brush. But you guys, it's more like Pinehurst where at least there'll be space between the trees with pine scrub down there. So on the ground. So there was the analysis with Pinehurst. And then with Augusta National, it was a very hilly site. There's no rough around the greens. You can play all kinds of shots. And the space and size of the landforms was just enormous. So for once, there was truth in marketing. For once, it wasn't fluff and hyperbole. You guys really did take those ideas. So touch a little bit more on the architectural ideas that you took from those three places and how you were trying to make them translate to the Del Monte Forest.
Well, I think one of the, let's go with Augusta first because that was probably our biggest contrast item. How do you put Augusta, Georgia in the pine forest in California next to Pebble Beach? Well, you know, what we did is we just decided that there should be a lot of interest around the greens that flow into the greens. That's one of my favorite things about Augusta National is a lot of the contouring and elements that have been into that golf course. And those greens are spectacular, but a lot of those items are coming in. Those contours are coming in from the sides and in the back and out the front. They're tying into the landscape that the green is built into. That was what we really tried to do at Poppy Hills, make those green surfaces and all the flowing elements around the green surfaces flow into each other seamlessly. So you have green surfaces that are really very good tests of golf, and they are great tests of golf beyond the green surface with very similar contours. So that's kind of the idea from Augusta. Pine Valley was simple. We wanted to make the pine tree element of the forest, Del Monte Forest, come out and penetrate into the golf course. We used a lot of the natural sandy big areas that you can ground your club, much like if you get to some of the penetrating areas of Pine Valley and the way the sand comes in and the scrub and all that kind of stuff. That was part of the design element, put those areas as framework. Once again, that took out turf that we didn't have to irrigate. That was huge. We took out 25, 26% of the total irrigated area
was removed. So that was big. And then Pinehurst, we liked the way the U.S. Open played there. We liked the fact that fairways were wide and firm and fast. We liked the fact that when you got into some of those areas just off the fairway that were kind of sandy and gnarly, you could find your ball and hit it. Those were kind of the elements that we took. And I'm really glad to hear you say about the no rough idea, because that we raised a few eyebrows with the owner of that golf course, an owner and operator, is the Northern California Golf Association.
That's
and,
right.
And we opened a few eyebrows, raised a few eyebrows when we suggested that. I can remember suggesting that in a meeting with all the Poppy Hills board members, and that's a tough crowd. I mean, everybody in the room is a great golfer, or they're all golfers. So you're presenting things. And they kind of look at us like, no rough? Well, what's the penalty going to be? And we said, well, there's going to be just a lot of room to hit the ball, but you got to hit it well.
and more than that, the smaller greens make for tougher targets, and the curvier greens make it so it's not an automatic one putt or even just a two putt. And if you miss and you're in a bunker, you're well below the level of the green. Those bunkers are big and deep and
yes,
everywhere.
You know, and Jay, it's funny, when we were growing the golf course in, we took tours with the NCGA board and the current presidents and things like that. And there was a big concern going into opening day that the golf course was going to play too easy, because it looked like it would play easy.
And what happened?
And then we started playing it. And then we started playing it. And then it was firm and fast. And the greens wouldn't hold, coming out of a brand new construction, it does take a while for the greens to kind of get their
yes,
spot.
Yes, that's true anyway.
Spot.
Yeah.
But what I see now is it's still firm and fast. You can still use that ground. I went down and played with my high school golf team buddies a couple weeks ago. Maybe it's been a month ago now, or maybe more. But anyhow, we went down. We had a great time, and we were firing. We played 36 holes, and we were firing some shots at the flag, and then using a lot of bump and run. And it was just a very fun experience, and it's starting to soften up where yield scores a little bit better, but boy, that ball will scoot and run, so you got to make sure you hit it in the right place, even though you got a lot of room.
Well, now you also mentioned how the great slope of of that terrain and those fairways feeds into the greens. One of my favorite holes was right out of the gate, number one.
Mm-hmm. Tough hole right off the bat, huh?
It's a tough driving hole to your eye, even though there's a little more room out there than you think. But then once you catch the chute and tumble down, you've got to hit another fade to take the landform and roll onto the green while avoiding the bunkers. And then you don't have a perfect picture window to the ocean. You can see the ocean through the trees. So then you never used to be able to do that. So that was kind of a nice touch as well, where you were able to at least clear out some of the trees so that we could see the ocean.
Oh yeah, definitely. That was huge. We did a lot of understory clearing. We cleaned out a lot of the floor, put down mulch and straw and pine straw, and the pine straw will just accumulate over the years. The idea is you can go out there and see that little white ball sitting out there in the floor of the forest, and go out and find it and punch it out. You know, you can hit it. You can recover.
While at the same time, an amateur golfer is going to be able to hit those fairways. They're not impossible to hit. There's plenty of room out there, and wherever it goes, be able to take another slug at it. While the professional or the expert golfer, are going to have a tough time as well. So it's going to keep everybody in the game. It's going to play well for all skill levels.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind, our client is, 105,000 or 115,000 members of the Northern California Golf Association. That's really our client. So we built it to be a fun place for them. It's their home course. It's their flagship course.
I'll tell you, you also get bonus points for one of the best hot dogs in all of golf, okay? Those things, they're a foot long, okay? And they're 2 inches thick. They're enormous, okay? They're as big as two other hot dogs. And at a measly $5, okay, that's a bargain all day long.
Now, well, I can guarantee you we didn't have anything to do with that.
Well, I can give you the good news, though, that they took one of my ideas and now it's on the menu, okay? When I walked up to them and I said, I'll take one of those hot dogs wrapped in bacon, they looked at each other and they went, ooh, that's a great idea. So they had some grilled bacon, and they chopped it up, and they added Jamaican hot pepper sauce for me and bacon, and, oh, I had two of them, and I never do that. So I've been eating much better, by the way, since I became a runner. It's not often that I'll do the double hot dog thing.
Sounds good.
Especially, and it's also not often I'll do the Jamaican hot pepper thing, and I definitely won't be doing that for a couple of weeks. I have a half a marathon coming up in 2 weeks, Bruce.
I'm going to be running
Delaware Beach. I'm going to be running the Delaware Beach half marathon. So.
Oh, that sounds like a fun one.
And, yeah, it is. It's beautiful. It's right along the water out to the lighthouse, and then, you know, you button hook. The route is like St. Andrews. It plays out to a point, takes a bit of a crook, and then turns completely back around. Yeah, okay, so that's the best way to describe it. The Shepherd's Crook.
Yeah, exactly.
So one last thing before... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to go back to Poppy Hills and say one thing, and this was a pure design intent that it was a philosophy, and we really was part of the NCGA's philosophy, too. Not only did they want to, you know, be the leader in water conservation and create a great golf course for their members to play, but, you know, they're very, very proud of where they are. You know, they're in the middle of the Monterey Peninsula, right next to Pebble Beach, right next to Spyglass. And our goal going in, I told them in every meeting that I made a presentation to, I said, our goal is to make Poppy Hills a must play. When all these other people come to Pebble Beach to play Pebble Beach or whatever they, I want the buzz to be amongst the caddies, amongst the golf shops and everything. Hey, have you played Poppy? You got to go over and play Poppy while you're here. It's a must play. That's what we shot. That was our goal. And I think based on what the guys at the Poppy Hills Pro Shops tell me, yeah, they're doing a good job. They're running a lot of people through there. Well, and the price point's good compared to Pebble Beach too, obviously. So.
Well, my favorite stretch to that end might be 9 and 10. Okay, but I also like 12 and 16 as well. But that 9 and 10th hole, great par fives with outstandingly curvy greens. And yes, that especially 10, that huge wide fairway, you know, but you've got the small green set in the huge playing corridor and then the bunker directly in front of it. You know, it's no question that feels like Augusta National. So,
well, yeah,
time will tell, but you're off to a good start, that's for sure.
Yeah, in fact, that green complex was kind of designed with 15 at Augusta in mind, that if you miss it left of that bunker, it's fairway shaved tight, and even though the water is like, you know, 25 yards away, that ball's going to roll all the way down into the water, kind of like when you miss it short on at Augusta.
You know, when you miss it.
Roll down in the water. That exactly was the inspiration.
Now, before we let you go, tell us a little bit about exactly what kind of water conservation project was going on. What did they need done, and what solution did you come up with?
Well, see, it was simple, Jay. They had an irrigation system that was old and it needed to be replaced. And the leadership at the NCGA said, you know, water here in California is a huge issue. Water around the world, Jay, is a big issue, frankly. But in California, it's really come to light over the last 5-7 years. And,
yeah, the Colorado River is drying up.
Exactly. So the board told us that, well, we want to be leaders. We want to be kind of like a poster child for how you go about doing water conservation. So here's what we did. We made just a couple simple steps. First of all, we looked at where are we irrigating now and why are we irrigating there? There's a lot of space that we were irrigating and mowing, and so we took those all out of irrigation, put in a lot of natural sandy playable areas, pine straw, that kind of stuff. So it's very playable. You can find your ball and hit it, but not irrigate it. That was number one. Number two, we wanted to, Poppy Hills had gotten the nickname Sloppy Poppy, so we wanted to really work on the drainage. It was always wet there. So we really worked on fairway drainage and put sand down everywhere. And then we planted you know, some more drought-tolerant grasses so that that grass plant goes down through that soil profile and has very healthy roots so that when you do get a drought, you know, and you have to dial back the water a little bit, you got a grass plant that's healthy and can survive it. It's a lot like a training of, you know, the more you train for a race, a running race, the better off you survive when you get under stress, right? So the better off you are when you hit the wall, you can keep running. It's the same thing with grass plants. The healthier that grass plant is, you put it under stress, it's going to survive a lot better. So those were kind of the big picture of what we've tried to do for water conservation, and it's really worked. It's really worked.
Well, I'll tell you one other thing, that it played beautifully. It played fast and firm, and it was absolutely gorgeous. And somehow you guys, with saving water, made it even more emerald green than it ever was before, supposedly. That's what people were saying. It did sparkle. It had an iridescence to it when we played it. And there was just some, you know, the air's like wine in Pebble Beach and in Monterey Peninsula. So everybody hopefully will get a chance to go run out and play it. Bruce, we got to have you back again after the turn of the new year. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been great.
Yeah, Jay, always enjoy it. We always have some fun talking about everything. So that's good.
Excellent. Well, we'll be in touch also, and we'll have some of the guys from those courses on the show, if not on the next episode, you know, one after that. But there's plenty of good stuff coming up. Thank you again, everybody. I'm going to leave you in the very capable hands of my boy DJ Q. We will be back to Jay's Plays on the Golf News Radio Network right after this.
That bump music means we're going to have to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be back at the second half of the show in just a minute.
This is your main man, DJ Q, and you're listening to Jay's Plays on the Golf News Net Radio Network.